Well, if you have your Bible, let's turn together to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Last week here in John 15, we learned that all faithful followers of Jesus Christ can expect to face persecution for their faith in Christ. It might be shocking to be persecuted for believers in God's Word, for believers in the Bible, who are seeking to live according to God's Word. And when you look at the Bible and you realize it's powerful for your life to guide your thinking, to guide your living, it might be shocking to you when you're persecuted for your faith, when you see so clearly in God's Word that it's good, that it's necessary. It might be shocking, but it shouldn't be surprising. It shouldn't surprise you when you're persecuted. God doesn't want us to be surprised, so He tells us in His Word to be prepared, be equipped. So as we arrive at the text before us this morning, we're looking at John chapter 15, and I want you to consider this question as we prepare to read the text together. Should you take persecution for your faith in Christ personally? Should you take it personally when persecuted and ridiculed because you are committed to living for God and living in obedience to God's Word, and you show evidence that you are living in obedience to God's Word, and you are persecuted for that? Should you consider that persecution a personal offense, a personal attack? Now, I just said we shouldn't be surprised when persecution comes. Jesus made clear that for those who keep His commandments, there will be persecution ahead. We shouldn't be surprised when it comes. Believers in Jesus who live lives that seek to be obedient to God's Word will be persecuted, not for what they do wrong. Understand that. It's not for anything you do wrong. It's for what you're doing right when you live according to God's Word. And by doing right, by obeying God's Word, you show yourself to be a follower of Christ, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, in fact, how the world, how unbelievers treated Jesus Christ. He had done no wrong. He had not sinned. But guess what? The world hated Him anyway. Unbelievers hated Him anyway. And because unbelievers hate Jesus, those who are His followers receive the same hatred that He received. In the passage before us this morning, Jesus explains further for us why those who are His will be persecuted. This, of course, helps us as followers of Jesus understand the hatred that may be hurled at you for your faith in Christ. It might help you understand the hatred of the world, unbelievers against believers, and may help equip you to deal with the rejection of those who persecute you for your faith. They also would persecute Jesus Christ Himself, the sinless Son of God. So I want you to follow along with me in verses 21 through 27 in John 15. Follow along as I read from the English Standard Version, where we hear Jesus saying this: "But all these things they will do to you on account of My name, because they do not know Him who sent Me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates Me hates My Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both Me and My Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated Me without a cause." And verse 26 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." So, why are faithful followers of Jesus going to be persecuted by the world? Why are believers in Jesus Christ who are faithful to Him going to be persecuted by unbelievers? Look at verse 21 again. Jesus says in verse 21 that all these things they will do to you on account of My name. On account of My name, because they do not know Him who sent Me. People who are faithful, believers in Jesus Christ, who are faithful to follow Jesus Christ obediently, will receive persecution from unbelievers because those who persecute them do not know the One who sent Jesus. They don't know God the Father. Now, some in Jesus' day were saying they knew God. Now, we know God. What are you talking about? We know God, but at the same time, they said they didn't know the One, capital O, the One whom God sent to be the Messiah. They didn't know Jesus Christ. And yet they claimed to know God. That's true in our day also. People claim that there are many ways to God. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you begin to point people to the Scriptures and to the Gospel that points to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And they say, but wait, there's many ways to God. That's not what the Bible teaches. There are not many ways to God. And if there were many ways to God, well, that's convenient, because that would mean that you could make it up as you go along. Your way to heaven is just as good as the next guy's. It means you only need to find your own way to heaven, your own way to God. Often, of course, that way people think they find is closely tied to something we would call self-righteousness. In other words, they look at their life and they look at their neighbor and they say, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. Or they look at their life and they say, okay, look at all the good things that I do. Look at the contributions that I make. Look how I don't kick my dog. Look how I don't blow my leaves on my neighbor's lawn. Look how, whatever. We in the church need to be on guard against this too, because we might be tempted to do the same thing. We might come to church even and feel like we've done our duty for the week. I went to church after all. I listened to the pastor preach a sermon, for Pete's sake. I should be okay, right? Can be tempting, but you need to know that simply attending church isn't what God requires. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants every area of your life. It's why at the Lord's Supper, I often say when we examine our hearts before we take communion, to examine our hearts to know whether we've got any unconfessed sin in our lives, to also examine our hearts for any area that we refuse to submit to God. Because that's rebellion against God. That's sin. And God wants our heart. He doesn't want us just going through the motions. It's possible actually to be in church right now, going through the motions, not being a true believer in and follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus goes on in verse 22 to invalidate that kind of thinking. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Now think about the point that Jesus is making here. And it's that no one who knew of Him in that day could claim that they didn't have enough evidence to conclude that He was God's Son. They couldn't claim that there wasn't enough evidence when they saw Jesus or when they heard of Him. Jesus was validated by the Father. Jesus had been given by the Father authority and power. And the evidence of that authority and power was seen wherever Jesus went. And we see it throughout the Gospels. There were more than enough miracles for people to witness, to believe that Jesus was God in human flesh, or to hear witnesses speak about seeing, to believe that Jesus was God in human flesh. There were more than enough miracles at the hands of Jesus to validate who he is for all who saw him or heard of him. That he is the Son of God. So to claim you know and obey God, but then say that you don't know Jesus and you're not going to obey him, that's showing that you really don't know God and you don't obey God. Why is that? Well, that's because Jesus came and spoke and taught, and he taught truth, and he worked miracles which gave evidence of his authority, and the truths that he taught exposed the sinful hearts of all who listened to what Jesus was saying. And what Jesus taught uncovered and revealed the sinfulness of mankind. It uncovered and revealed a person's sins when they heard him teaching and preaching the truth. That's still true for us today. For those who take up the Word of God, or speak the truth of the Word of God, or speak the truth of the gospel of the Word of God, if you come here and you hear the gospel, you hear the truth of the Word of God spoken, and Jesus Christ proclaimed, and faith in Him alone proclaimed, then you are without excuse. You can't say, I don't know who to believe in. You've been told Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one to be believed in. If you come here and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed, you know the gospel tells you that you need Jesus Christ in your life. You need a relationship with Him. You need to surrender your life to Him and believe in Him to be forgiven your sins and saved. And then He moves in and takes up residence by way of His Spirit, and He gives you His Word to guide you. So now, as Jesus was teaching, anyone who claimed to know God but refused to believe in Jesus had no excuse. And today the truth is proclaimed. And people who hear it are without excuse. People who need the gospel hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, they're without excuse. And because Jesus exposed sin which brought guilt, we find out why they hate followers of Christ. They hated Jesus because Jesus spoke truth that brought guilt. And because they hated Him, they could not claim to know God. It's still true today. Believers who are faithful to Jesus represent Him to the watching world. And we should be representing Him clearly with the way that we live and the fact that we speak the truth of the gospel into people's lives. And so believers who are faithful to Jesus Christ, representing Him clearly to the world, to unbelievers, and by their faithful witness and testimony, Jesus still exposes sinful hearts. And He exposes the guilt. The guilt for sin follows when Jesus exposes the sin of the heart. And because of this guilt, the world hates believers who are faithful messengers of the gospel. We ought not take persecution personally. They're striking back against God and against our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, against the truth of the gospel. And because of this guilt that the truth of the gospel reveals, the world hates believers who are faithful messengers of the gospel. That's not to say be careful about being a faithful messenger of the gospel. No. What God's Word is doing here is equipping us and preparing us for the persecution that will come when we're obedient to God and proclaim the truth of the gospel, come what may, no matter what. Oh, that would be us as a church, that we would say, we believe in God's Word. We're going to speak the truth of God's Word no matter where the world goes in denying the truth. We're going to claim the truth of the gospel. We're going to stay put in the Word. So not only do unbelievers who reject Jesus remain in their guilt, they also demonstrate by their rejection of Jesus their hatred for God. And that hatred may be shown to God's people, will be shown to God's people according to God's Word, and we're to be equipped. We may be shocked, but we shouldn't be surprised. And we ought to be ready to remain faithful to God's Word. Let's keep going here. Look at what Jesus says again in verses 23 through 25. Look at those three verses. Whoever hates me hates my Father also, says verse 23. Jesus goes on, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Those who reject God the Son also reject God the Father. When Jesus demonstrated his authority by the signs, by the wonders, when he taught, when he worked miracles, and when he taught the truth, and the truth spoke to people's hearts and revealed their guilt, their sin, people who heard him, what should they have done? They should have repented in faith and believed, and they would have been saved. But instead, many turned their backs on him. In fact, they did more than turn their back on him. Many struck out at him in hate. And still today, believers who faithfully represent Jesus as they live by faith and walk in obedience to God's word are rejected and are persecuted for not for who they are, not for being believers, but for whose they are, because they are Christ's and prove themselves to be Christ's. Faithful believers are hated because they represent Jesus who exposes sin. And if there's anything rebellious sinners don't like, it's having their sins exposed for what they are. We see that all around us in the world that we live in today. When believers stand for the truth, when the church remains steadfast in the truth of God's word, there is strong pushback. But the obedient believer brings to light the need for forgiveness of sin. It's, as I said last week, unbelievers need the faithful witness of believers that they reject, that unbelievers reject. Unbelievers strike out against believers, persecuting them for their faith in Christ, persecuting for their obedience to God's word. But that faithful witness of believers is just what unbelievers need. They need to hear the gospel. They need to see it lived out. And the obedient believer brings to light the need for forgiveness of sin. And the unbelievers, when that truth is revealed to them, what should they do? They should repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and they would be saved. The obedient believer in Jesus demonstrates that Jesus is God and must be obeyed. It's just what unbelievers desperately need. Unbelievers who refuse to repent and turn from their sin will often turn against those who are Christ's by persecuting them for their faith. Shocking, but not surprising. So how can believers hope to deal with being persecuted for living for Christ? Let's look at the encouragement Jesus gives his followers. In the remaining two verses of chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, look at them with me again. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, isn't that wonderful to have the Helper promised? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The passage I read at the beginning of the service this morning. Listen to Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things, even persecution, maybe especially persecution, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. It's often said that the strength of the church, the growth of the church through the centuries, has been fed by the blood of martyrs. And it's often persecution that is actually, when it's received properly by believers who pray for God's grace to endure, with a faith that endures, with a testimony that's strong and points people back to the gospel, is a powerful witness to the watching world. And verse 26 here in John 15, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." The Spirit of truth. The world needs the Spirit of truth. Desperately. The world is dying and going to hell without the Spirit of truth. And you represent the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth lives in you if you are God's child. He will bear witness about Me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. Believers will bear witness. So there are two encouraging reminders here for you if you are Christ's. As you hear this bad news about persecution that will come to you if you're faithful, don't let that discourage you from being faithful. Commit to being faithful. God will empower you. God will help you. Here it is. The first is that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who is given to you when you repent of sin and trust in Jesus, He will bear witness about Jesus Christ to you. In the midst of your persecution, God will show up. He's there already, but you'll know it because He'll witness to you that Jesus is who He says He is, that God says He is who He says He is, that He is there, that He helps you, that He will empower you, that He will embolden you. He will give you wisdom from His Word. He will bear witness about Jesus Christ to you. And you're going to need that in the face of persecution, to remember who Jesus is, to remember what He has finished on the cross. Take that to heart. Hide that in your heart. Cling to that truth. And the Holy Spirit will witness to you. In other words, as you trust in and depend upon Jesus and obey Him, you will know that you are Christ's, that you are kept by Christ. And you will be given confidence that you are Christ because the Spirit will make Him known to you. So when you read the Word, you read the Word, right? You need to read the Word. When you read the Word and you believe the Word, you believe the Bible, right? You need to believe the Bible. But don't stop reading it if you have doubts. Keep reading it. The Word answers those doubts. So when you read the Word and you believe the Word and you obey the Word, you will be strengthened with hope and encouragement and wisdom for living for Christ. The Spirit of truth will take the Word of truth and use it to strengthen and encourage you and equip you in the midst of persecution, to embolden you to remain faithful to God no matter what, no matter who turns against you. The Spirit bears witness to your heart that you are Christ and that you will be held and kept by Christ for all eternity and provided for by God for your most important needs and your most basic needs as you face persecution. And you're tempted right now maybe to think, well, I'm not facing persecution. You may not be facing persecution right now. You still need this truth. You need to be equipped and prepared. God still intends for you to be strengthened right now by the Spirit of truth, with the Word of truth. And He wants you to be strengthened for bold and Christ-like living and a walk of obedience in God's Word with Christ. And when you pray with faith, you'll see God's answers, which will also encourage you and strengthen your walk of faith with Christ. Now that leads to the second encouragement we see here, which is that you will be helped by the Spirit in your witness for Christ. The Spirit of Christ will witness to you, and you will witness for Christ. And the Spirit will help you. Verse 27 says, "You will also bear witness." You will also bear witness. In the face of persecution, the disciples would be empowered by the Spirit to remain faithful to Christ, bearing witness for Christ. After His resurrection, the disciples would go on to continue a faithful witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would face severe persecution. And they remained faithful, because this is true, what Jesus spoke to them and what God's Word is speaking to believers now. And you will also bear witness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will help you. In the face of persecution, the disciples were faithful. And disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ remain faithful today because the Holy Spirit lives in them and strengthens them with courage and boldness to remain faithful. And that promise is yours today. Believers in Jesus who are obedient to live for Christ will receive encouragement and strength to remain faithful in their witness for Christ, even in the face of persecution. So as we walk with Jesus Christ and as we seek to faithfully obey His commands, He helps us to not lose heart, to not be discouraged, to not be derailed or swayed from the truth. But the Spirit of truth, He strengthens us to bear a faithful witness for Christ. Oh, that we would be faithful. And it's not your strength you need, but His strength you need to be a faithful witness. Something that I think of often for myself. Oh God, help me to remain faithful to You. If you've ever asked how you can pray for me, you may have heard me answer that way. Pray that I'll be faithful to God and faithful to His Word. And remain so. It's a fitting prayer that we ought to all desire to be faithful to God. And He promises that we will be if we'll look to His Word and seek to be obedient to Him. He gives His Spirit. His Spirit is ours if our faith is in Christ. And His Spirit dwells in us so that His Word will be at work in us as the Spirit works with the Word. And when you face persecution of all times, you need the Word of God to strengthen you and equip you. The wisdom of God's Word to help you live a Christ-honoring godly life in response to persecution. And it could be really tempting to think that we can avoid being persecuted, but if we're to be faithful to the Lord, we cannot avoid being persecuted. You can rest assured that as you honor God with your obedience, He will help you. Take it to heart. He will strengthen you to remain faithful to Him in your living, the way you live your witness for Christ. And in your conduct, in your speech, in your witness for Christ. And you can also rest assured that God's purposes will prevail. We heard it in the text that I read from Romans. God's purposes will prevail. God can and will use even the persecution of His children, maybe especially the persecution of His children, to advance further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to all desire that. That the gospel keep going further and further, deeper into this world that needs Christ. I want to share with you an example of how this sometimes works, how persecution can further the advance of the gospel, in something written by a lady named Julie Ackerman Link, who contributes to the Daily Bread devotional. She wrote this: in AD 64, someone set fire to Rome. A few days later, two-thirds of the city lay in smoldering ruins. A rumor spread that the emperor, Nero, had set the fire because he wanted to rebuild the city and name it after himself, needing a scapegoat to get himself off the proverbial hot seat. He chose to blame a defenseless and unpopular minority, Christians. He then initiated such intense persecution that he's been referred to as the first Antichrist. It's believed that both Peter and Paul were martyred during this time. There you are, two of the disciples who remained faithful. Because Christianity was new and its followers still relatively few, the sadistic treatment that Nero leveled against believers, which included using them as human torches to light his palace garden, continued with little opposition. His persecution eventually backfired, however. Instead of weakening the new faith, it strengthened it. History tells us that within a few hundred years, Christianity became so influential that Emperor Constantine made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. God always has a purpose in persecution. He will use it for good if we will follow the example of Christ, who, when he suffered, he committed himself to him who judges righteously. God always has a purpose in all things. God always has a purpose in persecution. And we may not see it, but you can trust in the fact, you can depend on the fact that God is about advancing the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, when you are persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ, you can still trust God. And God will even use persecution for good. In fact, He intends to use persecution that comes on His saints for good. So remain faithful. Devote yourself to being faithful to God. Devote yourself to abiding in Christ, with His Word abiding in you. And remember whose you are. You are God's through faith in Jesus Christ. Keep abiding in Christ. Keep abiding with His Word abiding in you. Remember whose you are, and He will help you remain faithful to Him. As the old hymn by Isaac Watts says, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Praise God.